Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Such a short introduction to today's parable, and yet Jesus is asking such a lot of his disciples. He knows that their life of discipleship will not be an easy one, and nowadays, many of us don't find life easy either. In the parable, we're told about an unjust judge who doesn't fear God or have respect for people, and a widow who keeps coming to him, asking him to give her justice against her opponent. At first, he refuses, but when he realizes she's going to keep bothering him continually, he grants justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Or, in another translation, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming, which is a rather different interpretation, which just shows you that the Bible can be interpreted in many ways. Either way, the judge gets fed up with her and grants her justice to get her off his back. Then, in verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly." It's very easy to read this parable and quote it, hoping to comfort someone going through a hard time. But what if the power struggles in society seem stacked against them? I can imagine someone thinking that it's all very well for the disciples, who actually met Jesus, to expect them not to lose heart or give up. But what about us nowadays? The judge in the parable represents all those in positions of power who do not use that power in a just way. There are so many systems and structures in society that are unjust, or situations that seem too big and overwhelming to keep bringing them to God in prayer over and over again. Jesus tells us that God is not like this unjust judge, but far more prepared to grant justice. Will he delay long in helping them? But in the midst of dark times, some of us might say, well, yes. Yes, he will. I remember a difficult time in my late teens when I asked an Anglican vicar, where is God in all this? Things were tough. And I felt as if God wasn't responding to my prayers at all. But there are so many responses to prayers that come from other people, as well as the changes that we experience due to prayer. My conversation with that vicar, for example, where she gave me wise words that I'll never forget about how God carries us through the most difficult situations, even if we don't realize it at the time. Prayer is a conversation with God. We bring things before God, of course, but prayer changes us and our outlook on the world. After prayerful reflection, I have been able to sort problems that have been worrying me for a while and, until then, seemed impossible to solve. And it's okay to bring your struggles and laments to God in prayer. After all, some of the Psalms are just that, prayers of lament. For example, Psalm 13, verses 1 to 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul? And what is prayer? Does it only consist of words? I would say no. Many people do prayer walks, where they walk around an area and pray for the people within it, or marvel at the various colours of trees and flowers around them, and give thanks to God for all the wonderful gifts of creation. Prayer is part of a Methodist way of life, but so are many other things, including hospitality, serving, learning, and caring, which can all be done in a prayerful way, living out God's love through looking after others as well as ourselves. What if words aren't your thing? How should you pray regularly then? Many hymns are prayers set to music, or as they were described at a conference the other week I went to, prayers in your pocket. And there are various prayers in books, including the Methodist worship book, as well as the Psalms. But there's another prayer you can always call upon if you don't know what to say. The Lord's Prayer, which I've talked about here before. That is the prayer Jesus gave his disciples when they asked him how they should pray. During difficult times in my life, I've just told God that I don't know what to say, but please help. Then sat in contemplation for a while. And sometimes that has resulted in a feeling of peace and inner strength that I wouldn't otherwise have experienced. Some people pray looking at candles or holding something like a holding cross. These are all valid ways to pray. And I'm sure lots of you can think of other creative ways to pray as well. Listening to prayerful music, perhaps, and so many others. And God is faithful, always there to listen whenever we bring our prayers before him. At the end of today's passage, after asking if God will delay in granting justice, Jesus asks, "And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" There are many faithful people, but none of us are as faithful as God is towards us. With so many systemic injustices in the world, why should we trust God and pray regularly? In Psalm 121, we find out the answer. Many scholars believe this to be a psalm that was used by pilgrims going to and from Jerusalem, or used in the temple there. It takes the form of a conversation, starting with someone looking up to the hills and asking, "From where is my help to come?" Pilgrimages are hard, grueling journeys, especially in hot countries with the sun constantly beating down and the worry about getting enough food and especially water to sustain the pilgrims as well as various dangers along the way, such as difficulties with rough terrain, that is physically hard work, with the possibility of falling if great care is not taken. Here is the start of the psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to stumble. He who watches over you will not sleep. So God will look after his pilgrims, making sure they don't fall, because he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The psalm says in verse 5, the Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun will not strike you by day, neither the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. It is he who shall keep your soul. The Lord will keep watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Many of us are not on a pilgrimage, but a life of faith is a journey with God and all those we meet along the way, whether or not they are people of faith. God will take care of us and be receptive to our prayers. After all, Jesus told us to keep praying. So, however hard life can be, try not to lose heart and keep praying. And if you can't pray for a while, which happens to most of us at some time in our lives, remember that others are still praying and that God is faithful and always by your side. Amen.